Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester. Psych, it's Paul Savage today in for Tommy Kester. We did the old switcheroo with Paul and Tommy this week, so we've got Mr. Savage here today on a Thursday. Big Thursday for you, certainly.
Oh, my.
Of course, it's a Chiefs game day. It's the start of the NFL regular season. Here we go, baby.
Yep.
Who's ready? Ravens, Chiefs. We'll get you all primed up and ready to go. We heard from Dan Israel yesterday of the Chiefs Radio Network. Today, we're going to bring in our betting insider for the year, PJ Glasser. Will join the show this year for the first time, and we'll get his take on it from a betting perspective. I know people are ready to get back rocking and rolling in that world. We'll also have Royals talk. They snapped the streak just in time, right in time for a day off. So that is good to see, certainly. We'll get you into that as well, as they played last night. Looked good. Some interesting things happening in that game. We've got a couple of giveaways for you today. We'll give away some HTO. As we normally do, and we'll give away for the first time it's a bike drag race ticket opportunity for you, a pair of those tickets. We'll tell you a little bit about that later in the show. Also coming up on the program today in the second hour, our K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald joins the program to preview K-State's weekend road game. So we got a lot for you today. The IHOP hotline is open for you as well at 869-1240. That's, of course, always brought to you by IHOP, who still has its all-you-can-eat pancake deal through September 15th. Glad to be here with you this morning. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great. And by the way, I want to personally thank you for continuing, even though I was not here on Wednesday, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I give you my kudos. I give you my thanks. The tradition stays alive. And I want to thank you for that. So congratulations on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And it's good to be in today. Had fun with Tommy. Missed you on Tuesday, though. I mean, come on, Jacob. I missed you. And but it's good to be back with you here on Thursday. Love doing the show with Tommy. But I love doing it with you, too, as well. So welcome back, and it's good to be back with you. Hey, by the way, I got a question for you. I was thinking about your trip to the panhandle of Texas. How far are you from Palo Duro Canyon? By the way, anybody that doesn't know what Palo Duro Canyon is, it is a series of caverns. And I don't mean little itty just slits in the surface of the earth. I'm talking about big old canyons. And it's fantastic. It's like a wonder of the world to me. I think it's fantastic. But how far are you from Palo Duro Canyon from where you're staying with your parents?
About 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes.
Kidding. You know,
it's a college in Canyon. It's right down the road. Oh. Second biggest canyon in the country.
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware of that. So I didn't know it was the second. I know it's big because I've driven it. In fact, one year I was down, I was spending some time working in the Amarillo area. I went to Texas. Isn't that what it's called? I believe it's just plain Texas, isn't it? The music production?
Yeah, there's a big show there.
Oh, have you ever been to that?
I have.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, you're our resident thespian. Yeah, trip to the Panhandle was great. We're recovered. We're ready to rock and roll.
Good for you.
And we're ready for a Chiefs game day. Yeah,
oh
against
my gosh,
the Ravens. I this is gonna be, it's gonna be a good one.
Oh.
This is, you know, I just have a sneaky suspicion that this will be a highly competitive game. And we'll get into it. We'll start that preview. As we make our way through, we're going to have our betting expert on it. We'll get you revved up. Of course, you'll hear it over on the Chiefs Radio Network on KNSS. But so we don't run out of time for it, Paul,
right.
Let's
okay.
start with the Royals here.
Let's do it.
Right?
Let's get it going.
Smack in the middle of a playoff chase. They get the win last night. They snap that pesky streak. That's the good news. They gain a game on both Detroit and Boston in the wild card. 5.5 games up of them now. Seattle won, so they remain 5.5 up on Seattle. Tampa won. So they're 6 games up on Tampa. Of course, with the win over Cleveland, they get a game back in the division now to 4.5 games tied in the games back with Minnesota. Played 2 more games than the Twins, and a much needed a much needed day off after a wild week. You know, it was Wednesday of last week. We were here with the Royals looking to sweep the Guardians, to take first place all by themselves. All was going well. And then the next day, everything crashed down. You had the collision with Urcig and Pasquantino. You had those injuries to deal with. Urcig seemed to be broken there for a little while, although he looked really good last night. So hopefully that was temporary. They've added pieces since then to try and make up for it. Tommy Pham, one of those pieces they added, was your key contributor last night. Hit a big 3-run home run. You love having his contagious winning attitude, which at times can go too far. But right now, boy, he feels like the right kind of jolt in the arm for this team, who will now, you know, they'll have to get their reinforcements, which is sort of funny from a few guys that started the season with the White Sox, an historically bad team, but they're helping right now. And they get a great start from Seth Lugo. That's 2 in a row for him. So look, it was a really bad week, epically bad week, but they get the win and they're in a good position as we make our way down the home stretch of this regular season. Mm. They've got to piece it together and slowly but surely try to get some things going back in the right direction. That was a much needed win. Could have been very different scenario. You know, that's the thing, Paul, and we talked about this yesterday. They're still in a pretty good position, even with the 7 losses in a row. Now, had they won just a handful of those, we may be talking about like too much to overcome for the teams behind them. But at least they still maintain a healthy, we'll call it, lead in the wild card. Now they get to a day off, and boy, they've got to regroup and regroup quickly because the schedule still doesn't let up for a little while. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. They can't afford, you know, maybe it's as simple as they just can't afford another losing streak like that. They have to be able to just piece it together and hang on for the ride here and maintain that. Could they be better than that? Could they, you know, get back on track and dig it in? Sure, they could. It just, with everything piled up against them over the last 7 or 8 days, that seems a little unlikely to me.
Right. Well, and you know, the good news is that, you know, when Tommy and I did the show on Tuesday, we were talking about, you know, literally 6 days earlier from Tuesday, just 6 days. Tommy had it right down to the I thought it was 7 or 8 days. Nope, it was 6 days. 6 days. The Royals were tied for first place in the Central Division. Tied for first. And then literally on Tuesday of this week, they're 4.5 game back. Now, coming into this show on Thursday, I skipped Wednesday. I don't do the show on Wednesday, which is great. Well, no problem. That's fine. You guys did a great job. Enjoyed the show. But on Thursday, we come back in, and we're still 4.5. You know something? I'm almost thinking to myself, that's okay with me. I mean, the streak seems to be at least cured a little. It's been stymied a little bit at least. So four and a half games back, I think you can kind of live with that. Now, Minnesota's playing pretty good baseball too. They're also 4.5 games back. But right now, you know, you're not losing ground at least for a day or two.
And that's it. Paul, they've lost 7 out of their last 10 too. Everybody there, with the exception of the Tigers, who have, you know, become pesky, is struggling. You've got everybody. The only team out of that group that's got a winning record over their last 10 is Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, the timing has been fortuitous, and it has been, you know, really, really good fortune. And one thing I brought up yesterday was you almost get to the point now when you see what's happened over the last week and when you see the Royals just sort of limping into this day off. It's almost better for them at this point, it seems, for all the really good teams to get hot and take off. Now, you don't obviously want that to happen with the Yankees when you play them heads up. What I mean is, a part of this chase could easily become a story of all the teams in the mix for the wild card just sort of struggle right now. And that would be the best thing that could happen for the Royals. Yeah, maybe it cost them the division. Maybe it cost them positioning and they end up being the third wild card team or whatever it is. But at this point, beggars can't be choosers. And when you see a week of injuries and, you know, bad luck and everything play out, like it's a very different conversation that we're having. And it's because of things outside of the team's control in a large way. So, like, I don't even see anything wrong with that. I think it's fine to sort of root for that, right? That it's fine if, you know, the Royals just can't win a ton of games down the stretch. Okay. They were dealt a hand that if they can just get there, we're going to feel good about it. And the second they clinch that spot, and this is where we disagreed yesterday a little bit, you know, Tommy worried that you lose all that momentum and you limp in. But I don't think that'll be the case for this team because they haven't been there in a long time. And the second, no matter what the circumstances are, the second they would potentially clinch a playoff spot, you can basically throw everything else out the window. You start that energy and that, you know, momentum, all that stuff can start from zero because now you're excited again. You don't really care how you got there. You're there and nobody expected you to be there. So, you know, can you get there? To me is the bigger question. And I don't quite frankly care how they do it at this point.
Well, I think that you're being a little naive. I mean, after all, you're playing a child's game. You're being paid millions of dollars to play a child's game. You know, you can be a little excited. It's okay. And I got you on that. And I understand what you're saying. Here's the thing. Here's the one thing about baseball of all the sports, I think it's probably the most superstitious. And I know what you're trying to say about, you know, the clubhouse, you win a few games, you lose a few games, but I'll tell you what, I don't care what the sport is. You go into the playoffs, you play well. And that's the main ingredient. You know, you're going to play in the playoffs the way you've played the last week or two of the season. And that's why it's so important. Is it doable to still clinch the Central? Yes, but you got to win some baseball games. Is that preferable? Of course it is. Because let's face it, in the wild card, Jacob, anything can happen. I mean, your leash is very short, isn't it? So I want to see the Royals play well going down the line. And that's just like any sport. You got to play well at the end. You play well going to the playoffs. You play well going into the, and if it's the wild card you're going into, you play well going into the wild card. That's, I think, Jacob, it's really important.
It's not as important as getting there. And I wouldn't have said that to you a week ago. Because a week ago, it looked like getting there was
a done deal. Right? Yeah.
But then you lose one of your best players to injury.
Right.
At the same time, your closer in the same fluky collision appeared to. Now, we'll see, because Urshig pitched well last night. Appeared to fall out of, you know, the groove that he had found himself in. And then you make your way through.
Mm-hmm.
So now to me, it's like, okay, the circumstances have changed greatly. And now it becomes, do they have enough to just get there? Because they've been, you know, the outlook has changed with a lot of things that aren't just, oh, their players are slumping. No, they lost their players. Like, they lost all these key pieces. So we'll see. And they're going to get some of them back. And maybe by the end of this, it changes again. But I do not have a problem being realistic with this. And right now, it feels like survival. They get the win yesterday. They survive. They don't get swept. They gain another game on a lot of the teams chasing them. And now they get a day off. Thank goodness. They haven't had one in a while. And then they'll get a bunch of Thursdays off here down the stretch, which will help this team too. Thank goodness Seth Lugo strung his second good start together. Thank goodness Urshig looked good. Thank goodness they got Tommy Pham in there to help. Reinforcements to some degree. But we'll talk more about this a little bit later. We're going to take a break now. Let's set up our first giveaway.
Okay.
And then we'll take a break. We'll get you a segment here. Look for just a second at the Chiefs, and then later this hour, we'll have our betting insider, PJ Glasser, who's going to join the program this year. We'll do that. Let's do our giveaway, though. This is 52 Truett and Osborne bike drag tickets. Okay, so we have a pair of these, 52 Truett and Osborne bike drags. This will be September 6th, 7th, and 8th out at the Kansas International Dragway in Mays. All you got to do to win a pair of tickets to that, text the keyword drag, D-R-A-G, to the short code 20357 for your chance to snag a pair of those tickets. Again, 52 Truett and Osborne bike drags out at the Kansas International Dragway. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. We'll take a brief look at the Chiefs-Ravens tonight, and then we'll get you our betting insider to help us preview that game as well on Sports Daily. It's Albrocht. It's Savage. It's a Thursday. Happy NFL season, everybody. We'll be right back. Football coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Talk a little football here for a few minutes before we bring in PJ Glasser to talk bets as far as the Chiefs game goes tonight. We'll talk to him about the NFL week one. We'll talk to him about KU and K-State this weekend. All kinds of good stuff there coming up with PJ Glasser. So that'll be fun. That'll be in our next segment. Paul, in the meantime, the Chiefs, the Ravens tonight. We'll dig in a little further in the second hour. But just at a bird's eye, I'm excited about this one. And we did our picks last week, and I'm going to take the points. I think I still would say the Chiefs will win just within the number. But pretty much for me, when I look at this game, I'm looking at a game I feel like is going to be really, 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 really close. Really close. And I think it will be an epic way to start the season. I can't envision a scenario where one of these teams runs away with this game. I can't wait for it, Paul. What a perfect way to start the NFL season.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pure genius on behalf of the NFL to start out with this particular, you know, game at this particular time with these two particular teams. And particularly when you look at the overall contest, I mean, and you you know, we knew the Baltimore Ravens were going to be pretty good anyway, didn't we? I mean, we thought they'd be pretty good. And then they go and add a few offensive linemen that are going to be new. They're going to be better up front. They add Derrick Henry to the mix with a basically a Hall of Fame, you know, running back. But not just a running back that has normal wear and tear. He's a little fresher than would be. It's early in the year, and he's fairly fresh, and he hasn't been beaten up in the last year or so. So this is going to be fascinating. Listen, I'm not going to be surprised at all to see the Ravens win this game. Ravens are going to be good. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson are good. They're going to be able to do some things.
It's Derrick Henry, right?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's not that, the Chiefs are my Super Bowl pick, so I'll qualify everything with that. It's this particular game.
Because of him?
He's got a lot to do with it. It's the unknown of the Chiefs season. Again, I don't know if I'm going to say the Ravens are going to win. I do think they'll cover the number. It's a coin flip on the winner to me, because you've got lots of things to test out here in this one. This is why I love it, right? And we'll get into all of this more. But just real quick for me, it's can this defense now stop with the pieces that it's lost? Can it stop an offense like this, which by the end of the year is probably going to be a top five offense in the league, if I had to guess? And on the flip side, and I know Hollywood Brown won't play, which is too bad because this could have been a revenge game for him. What does what I feel like will be a very new look Chiefs offense, a very highly explosive, very different offense than we saw a year ago, look like right out of the gates? By the end of the year, I think that offense is going to be humming and Patrick Mahomes is going to put up stupid numbers. Is it that way right out of the gates without Hollywood Brown? So there's kind of these two slight unknowns. There's not really a runway for the Chiefs here. You're just, boom, here come the Ravens, who did lose their defensive coordinator. So I guess that's something to pay attention to. But other than that, this is pretty much the same Ravens team plus Derrick Henry, right? And with two healthy tight ends now, two fully healthy tight ends.
And don't forget offensive linemen have joined that group up front that are really good. I mean, that they have improved up front on the offense, though, too. Don't forget that. I mean, they have.
Yeah, it's going to be good. All right, let's take our break so we're not late with Blaster. So we're going to get our betting insider in. We're going to look at this game from 1,000 different angles tonight, and then we will get further into the NFL week, the college football weekend, a lot to cover here. So we're going to take a quick break. On the way out, we want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for always bringing us great coffee here at KFH, fueling us up, getting us ready for the start of an NFL season today. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, up next on Sports Daily.
Daily on KFH.
On your way into work, you want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com? You can. Just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search for KFH. Download that Odyssey app today to get started. You can go back and listen to any of the next interview you might miss if you're not with us the entire segment as we bring in Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on the BetQL app. PJ joining us here on Sports Daily for the first time. Tommy Caster not with you today, PJ, so you've got me, Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here as well. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to have you on board this year.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Excited to do these hits with you every Thursday and talking college football, NFL. It's actually great timing, too, because obviously you guys are in Wichita there in Kansas. So, you know, a lot of Chiefs fans, and I'm a Ravens fan. So I know
making
an impression.
That's it.
So it's the perfect guy to have on the show today to talk about.
Yeah, okay. So we'll add that to the title, Ravens fan. Alabama alumni I see on X. By the way, you can follow PJ at PJ Glasser 9, strike 2. You got the Bama guy. You got a Ravens fan in here. We'll get through it. Look, I'm sure you are as excited as Chiefs fans are today. This game, and we can start right there. What a great game to start the NFL season. I'm having a hard time with the number, personally. It is because I think there are enough questions on both sides of the ball to make this one tricky. It's an opener. Everybody's had all the time to prepare. You're a Ravens fan. What on earth was John Harbaugh doing in the AFC Championship game not running the ball? He doesn't make that mistake twice, does he? What do you got on this one?
Yeah, I mean, we're still all trying to figure that out, right? Kansas City's got such a great secondary last season, and the Ravens play right into that, only giving their running backs the ball six times. So with the acquisition of Derrick Henry, you think that's probably not going to happen again. I too, am having a tough time with what to do with the spread in this game, right? Three is the ultimate key number in sports betting when you're dealing with football. These games between these two teams are normally one possession. They're normally really close. Lamar's got a great record as an underdog against the spread. He's 12-1 against the spread as an underdog. And these coin flip type games where either he's a 3-point dog or he's a 3-point favorite, he's normally really, really good in those kind of games. He's only beaten Mahomes once, obviously, so he doesn't have a good track record against them. But I just don't know what to do with the spread in this game, guys. If anything, I would probably bet Kansas City on the money line. Tough for me to see Mahomes losing back-to-back openers to start the season, obviously losing to Detroit last year. The under is actually my favorite play. Primetime unders, anybody that kind of follows football, follows betting, knows that when we get these Thursday night games, Sunday night games, Monday night games, if you just blindly bet the under, it's extremely profitable. That AFC title game last year was 17-10. We know what a great second half defense the Chiefs are and how it's really tough to score on them. So I kind of see this being like a 20-17 game one way or the other, somewhere in that neighborhood. So the under 47 is going to be my favorite play.
You know, there was a parlay that really caught my attention. There's a parlay that involves both quarterbacks for the Ravens and the Chiefs, and it has to do with Mahomes and Jackson both throwing for, I believe, 240 yards if both of them throw for 240, and both of them rush. Well, no. Jackson rushed for 40 yards, Mahomes for 15 yards. You parlay, and it's a pretty good size payoff. $100 bet pays you off $500-$600, something like that. I was trying to figure all the little ins and outs of that bet. Is that a smart kind of bet in this kind of game? Will both these guys throw for 240, you think, in that neighborhood? And then, of course, for Mahomes to pick up 15, he can do that real easy on a first down conversion, you know, something like that. But 40 yards, is that almost too much for Jackson? Where are you at on that parlay? Because I kind of thought it sounded kind of intriguing.
Yeah, so Lamar's passing prop right now is a 217.5 on BetMGM. Okay. Mahomes is a 270.5, so Mahomes should eclipse that pretty easily. Lamar would be the concern. And again, after what happened in the AFC title game last year, the Ravens, the bread and butter is they love to run the football, as we all know. Guys, I can tell you as a Ravens fan, whenever Baltimore plays against just about every other team in the league, they pretty much always stick to the run. That's their game plan. That's what they center everything around. For whatever reason, whenever they play Kansas City, they just have this idea that like they need to prove that Lamar is as good as a passer as Mahomes, when like we all know that he isn't. Everybody else knows that except the Ravens for whatever reason. It's like just let Lamar beat Lamar in these games against the Chiefs. But for whatever reason, they just try and throw the ball. Obviously, John Harbaugh was under Andy Reid and the coaching staff in Philly, so he's got added incentive always to kind of push the envelope and get even riskier than he normally is whenever he goes up against the Chiefs, too. So I'd probably stay away from the parlay, Paul, just because I don't know if Lamar's going to eclipse 240. But rushing props today for Lamar, I think, is a really good bet. I love his anytime touchdown price at plus 200. I think this is the kind of game, right? Whenever you're going up against the Chiefs, like in the regular season, you kind of want to save yourself from hits and all that sort of thing. But in game one, with the rematch of the AFC title game, I think Lamar would probably be looking to run more than he would in other regular season games. So his rushing props I like today, and for him to find the end zone at plus 200, I like that price as well.
It'll be interesting. We know single game parlays in general are kind of sucker bets, but they're fun. And for most of us, we don't mind throwing a few dollars at them, and we'll all get the bonuses from the sites today and everything else. So these props become really intriguing. I'm with you. I don't like Lamar's passing prop, but I do like Mahomes' rushing prop. I think it's been one to watch historically for the last 2 or 3 years. And then Derrick Henry's there now. I'm seeing close to even money on 70 yards for Henry, which seems very attainable. I suppose the only concern would be if Harbaugh stays stubborn there, but I like both of those rushing props, both Mahomes and Henry, as we open the season, because I'm with you and I like the under, and it sort of lends itself to that.
I agree with you on both. I like Mahomes rushing a lot. As you guys know, throughout the years in playoff games, Mahomes rushing yards is normally a really good bet. He's an excellent underrated scrambler. And, you know, the Ravens did lose some pieces on their defensive line. They led the league in sacks last season, but they returned most of that production. So I think they'll be able to get a decent pass rush on a very good Kansas City offensive line. I expect Mahomes to have some scrambles. And like you guys said, I mean, he can run for 15 yards on any given play to get a first down. So I like that. Derrick Henry as well. The Ravens are a little thin at running back right now. Justice Hill's number two on their depth chart. Keaton Mitchell, who should come back later on in the season, who was great for them when he played last year, he's still out with an injury. But this is why you signed Derrick Henry. This is the games you bring him over for, is to go up against the Chiefs. And he's got a pretty good track record against Kansas City. He's never played, obviously, with the quarterback like Lamar. Whenever Derrick was in Tennessee, he was the focal point of every game plan, right? Now you come to Baltimore, and obviously Lamar is the centerpiece of every game plan. So I'm excited to see Derrick in the offense with Lamar today. And I think both him and Pat are good guys to look at for the rushing yards.
PJ, you mind if I switch gears to the Dallas Cowboys? Both Jacob and I are both Cowboy fans. We love the Cowboys. Okay. They're my second team. And having gone to school in Texas, you know, you grow to love the Dallas Cowboys. I find it interesting that they're a 2.5-point dog to the Cleveland Browns. I think that's fascinating. And the reason I think that's fascinating is that, you know, now that they have CeeDee Lamb back, it looks like Dak is happy. I mean, he hasn't signed his contract or anything. I'm talking about the extension of his contract. But it doesn't seem like it's affecting his work ethic or what he's doing with his teammates or what he wants to do on the field. And the Cowboys are getting points. Is that just me, or do I think that that's almost a no-brainer? Take Dallas and get points against the Cleveland Browns? What am I missing?
No,
I am missing something.
Yeah, I love Cleveland, guys, in this spot. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. I would just take them on the money line at -135. I wouldn't lay the 2.5 with them. For like the whole summer, this game was a pick'em, and now as we've gotten closer to kickoff, it's getting closer to -3. As Cowboys fans, though, like you guys know, these are the kinds of games that Dallas just struggles, right? When you get them outdoors, when you get them on natural grass, when you get them against a good defense, against a good team, like that's just the games that they struggle. They didn't win those games at all last season, and they get it to open up the year. Cleveland had a great defense at home last season. I think it's going to be really, really good again. I know Watson is a big question mark if he's even going to play in this game, whether it's going to be him or Jameis Winston. I personally don't think it really matters. I think this is just a fade to Dallas, and this is usually the kind of game where their offense and Dak really, really struggle. So I know a lot of people are down on Dallas this season. I'm not one of those people, but I just think this is a tough game to open up against the season against, because these are the kind of games when you can get them out of Jerry World and you can get them on natural grass and not turf, their offense is usually a completely different team. So I actually like Cleveland. I think they win that game. It's one of my favorite bets of the week.
What else are we looking at Sunday? Because I want to get to Monday Night Football in just a little bit. That's an interesting one to me. But we get a Friday game before we get to Sunday. Eagles-Packers, two teams that could very well be playing for an NFC championship at some point. When I see 2.5 of the Eagles at home, that tells me, right, that the Packers may be on a neutral field slightly favored. I think it's a bounce back year for the Eagles. I'm in on the Packers like everybody else, but I'm feeling a bounce back for the Eagles. -2.5 at home to open the season. That's tight. It's going to be tough.
It is. It is. And again, like you said, both these teams, I think a lot of people are high on both of these teams. Jordan Love, obviously, what he did the second half of last season. A lot of people are expecting a bounce back for Philly. We've seen a ton of line movement here in the last couple days, guys. Again, for much of the summer, the Eagles were like -1. They got up to as high as 3. And when we were getting that key number of 3, I liked Green Bay. Now that it's back down to 2, this game is pretty much a pass for me. I think it's a great game to bet live. And look, I think the Ravens-Chiefs game is a good game to bet live as well. Like, a lot of times people just think they have to bet these numbers right off of the start. Well, if you like Kansas City to win the game, if the Ravens get the ball first, go right down the field and go up 7-0, you're going to get Kansas City a plus money. It's the same thing with these Eagles-Packers game, right? If you like the Eagles, Green Bay gets the ball first. If they go down and even just kick a field goal, it's going to be like a pick 'em, or you could be getting Philly at plus money. So I think, honestly, both of those games are games that I would just sit back and bet live, and hopefully you get like a really good number with any of those teams. And that's the way I'm attacking Green Bay and Philadelphia. You know, the Eagles have to replace both of their coordinators from last season. They got to replace leaders on both sides of the ball with Kelce and Fletcher Cox. And they were one of the worst teams in football in the second half of last season. So I don't know if they've completely fixed that. We'll see. Green Bay, obviously, a lot of expectations coming in. But that game for me, guys, is a game that I would bet live and hope you get a good number with one of those
teams. Jacob, I want to defer my next question to you. I want to let you take it because my question was also with the Jets and the 49ers on Monday. Jacob, take this question for me.
Yeah, I will, because you brought up a betting live thing that I think is interesting for tonight. Another one of the bets that I've been just kind of mulling over in my head tonight is Xavier Worthy as the first touchdown scorer. Now, I don't know when, and the reason I think about that is because I envision Patrick Mahomes wanting to show off his shiny new toy. And you know, if he gets the opportunity of maybe taking a shot in that first drive, but maybe they don't get the ball in the first drive. I struggle with this all the time. When you're making a first touchdown bet, because we get bonuses on those, so people like to make them. Do you wait to see who gets the ball first? You probably lose a little, you know, you probably lose a little odds there. Is it better to do that, or is it better to take your shot before the game kicks off and get the higher odds?
Yeah, so there are a couple ways. You could either wait until kickoff, but like you said, you probably lose a little bit of juice. You could just bet either the Ravens' first touchdown score or the Chiefs' first touchdown score, but also lose some odds that way. Or you can just roll the dice and bet it like right now before the game starts and try and take a shot. I think Worthy's a good look. Guys, honestly, though, I think it's going to be pretty chalky. I think if it's Kansas City, it's probably going to be Pacheco or it's going to be Kelce. I think if it's the Ravens, it's going to be Lamar. It's going to be Derek. Maybe it's one of the tight ends, Andrews or Likely. That's the way I see it playing out. I think the Ravens, the way that they match up with Kansas City is going to be really interesting, right? You're going to see a lot of Kyle Hamilton tonight on Kelce. You're going to see the Ravens' new first-round pick, Nate Wiggins, likely on Kansas City's rookie, Xavier Worthy, who you're just mentioning, Marlon Humphrey likely on Rashee Rice. So there's a lot of fascinating matchups all over the field that I can't wait to watch tonight. But yeah, I think Worthy would be a good long shot. But honestly, guys, I think it's going to be pretty chalky. I think it's probably Pacheco or Kelce for KC or Derek Lamar, maybe one of the tight ends for Baltimore.
You know, before we say goodbye to you, it has been wonderful. I could go the whole hour with you if you want to know the truth. I'm having so much fun with this interview, but I got to get to college. I got a problem, BJ. Here's my problem. My problem is I don't know what great football teams have had and come and go on the portal and that kind of thing. And when you're this early in the year, how do you make a bet with college teams? Because you may not know what came and went with Rutgers. You may not know what came and went with Ole Miss. You may not know a lot about a lot of teams. How does one go about navigating the world of college football when you really don't know what a team has? Now, you hear things and you hear reports, but you just don't really know, do you?
No, you don't, Paul, and it's a great question, and it's great that you bring this up in week two, because so much of the handicapping in week two, not only in college football, but in the NFL also, is overreaction, right? So many people are going to bet this week in college football with what they saw out of a team in week one, and that's just not a long-term profitable way to like break down games and bet games. And also, you got to beware of letdown spots throughout the season, right? Like Notre Dame's coming off a huge win against Texas A&M. I think Northern Illinois catching four touchdowns this week in South Bend is a really interesting game. But you mentioned like not knowing these teams. I mean, some of the marquee games this week, guys, Texas was only 3-point favorites over the summer. Now, after Michigan struggled against Fresno State and Texas blew out Colorado State, that line's all the way up to 7.5. Same thing with NC State and Tennessee. That line over the summer was 5. Now the Vols are all the way out to 8.5-point favorites. So it's tough betting college football early on in the season because we don't have preseason. And now with the new era of the transfer portal, there's so much unknowns with a lot of these teams. But my advice, a majority of the time, is when you're getting this much value with a lot of these teams, when the summer lines were one thing and now they're like a 4 or 5 point difference, normally back those underdogs. Because again, even after one game, we still don't really have a good idea of how good or bad these teams are. We all thought Florida State was going to bounce back against Boston College. Just turns out the Seminoles don't look like they're going to be very good this season.
Yeah, we'll get you a couple here, PJ. Rapid fire is the teams we follow both inside the top 25. K-State plays Tulane. That line has moved toward Tulane just slightly lately. The Wildcats right now, I see it at laying 9 points on the road. Do you have a play with K-State Tulane?
Tricky game. Obviously, noon Eastern time kick, 11 a.m. local kick there in New Orleans. Tulane lost their coach this season, guys, Willie Fritz. He's now coaching Houston. So early game like this in the season, I think that's a big advantage for K-State. Obviously, the program that Klieman's built there. I'm big on Avery Johnson this season. I think he's going to be really, really good. I would lay the 9.5 with Kansas State. That could be like an ugly, low-scoring game early, but then I think eventually you start to see the Wildcats pull away late. So I would lay the 9.5 with them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And then the other one, KU. So Illinois apparently has now sold this game out, the first time they've done that in a long time. Kansas has its star quarterback back. He looked fine in the first week, which was a preseason game, essentially. They're laying 5.5 against a Big Ten team on the road. Any plays there you like?
No play for me, guys, but I will say this. I think the side is correlated with the total. If you like Kansas, I would bet the over. If you like Illinois, I would bet the under, right? You guys know. Kansas, with their offense, they want to score. Illinois wants to grind it out, chew clock, run the football. So no play for me, but if you like the Jayhawks, bet the over. Like the Illini, take the under.
All right, and then one last one. This one comes from one of our viewers here that's watching us on YouTube right now. Austin asks about, and this is good because we wanted to get to this game, Packers-Niners. Your thoughts on that game, because Niners -4 seems real, real good to me. But he wants to know about Aaron Rodgers and a passing prop. I see it at, is getting up there between 225, 250, depending on where you want to take it. But that game in general, and then Rodgers on his prop.
Yeah, so I'll start with Rodgers. Nothing for me on Aaron, right? We haven't seen him in 2 years. He's going up against one of the best defenses in football. It's just it's tough to really know what he's going to look like. That could create a good betting opportunity because maybe you're getting a discounted price on him. So if you are high on Aaron, then maybe bet him. I would look at Garrett Wilson. Like, if Aaron has showed us through the years, when he has a guy, he goes to that guy, whether it's Greg Jennings, whether it's Jordy Nelson, whether it's Davante Adams. When he has his number one, he's going to feed him. He loves Garrett Wilson. So I think Garrett could have a big day. That's the guy I would target in props for the Jets. As for the game, guys, I really like New York in this spot, +4. I like them to win this game outright. To me, this line is very similar to what we saw college football in week 1 with USC and LSU. LSU opened up as a 6.5-point favorite, just like San Francisco did. This line got as low as 3.5, just like the LSU game did. In sports betting, we call that reverse line movement, when the line moves down, but everybody keeps betting the other side. And a lot of those times, that underdog not only covers, but they win outright. So I think the Jets are very live in that game. Aaron Rodgers is a Bay Area guy. He got hurt in Monday Night Football last year. Like, it just has all the makings. Robert Saleh used to coach with the Niners. Just has all the makings of, like, the Jets winning that game and getting their season jump started. So I like New York quite a bit in that game.
PJ Glasser, host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on BetQL app. Which is a great app, by the way, if you don't have it. We've had it, and it's been a part of our betting experience for a few years now. PJ, great start to your hits here on Sports Daily. We appreciate it. We will not wish you well on the game tonight with the Ravens, at least from a fan's perspective, because we'd get run out of town for that. But it'll be a big one. We appreciate it, and let's all just enjoy the start of another NFL season.
Absolutely. Great meeting you guys. Thanks for having me. Look forward to next Thursday. Enjoy the game tonight as well. Can't wait for it to start.
There goes PJ Glasser. By the way, you'll hear that game, Chiefs Radio Network, over on KNSS. Holy cow, Mr. Savage.
Wow.
It's here.
Hey.
Here we go. All right. So we'll take a brief. We'll catch our breath. All kinds of great stuff there. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can do that on the Odyssey app. He likes K-State laying the points. I do too. Let's see what Tim Fitzgerald thinks. Our K-State insider drops by in our next segment. He's going to help us preview that game, dig in a little bit. What has he seen from Tulane? Because I'll be honest, Paul, I haven't watched a second of Tulane football. Did they play in week 1? I assume they did. I have no idea. Fitz will know, and he will enlighten us when we return. We'll have some K-State football talk next. Don't go away. Hour number 2 of Sports Daily coming your way.
in Odyssey Sports Station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are joined now by our buddy Tim Fitzgerald. Tim gets the pleasure of Mr. Paul Savage this week. Paul and Tommy did a flip-flop. So, Tim, you know, we made Hawaiian shirt a Wednesday. I know you've got some in the tank. Maybe we should just make it every day.
You know, I got a few. I don't know that I have that many, but I can look very festive.
Yeah, well, that's good.
It's football season. Why wouldn't we be festive?
That's right.
You know, like it's the start of the football season. I mean, K-State gets out to, they don't cover their number, but they get out to a fine start. I don't know what to take away from these games. I struggle so much with the openers when they're against these these FCS opponents. Like I don't know what we see. Like, we look at it and it's like, okay, what do we take away from that? Because it was UT Martin.
Right.
But now we get on to a real opponent. But what did you take away? I mean, You know, I think we were all watching the play calling and Avery Johnson, obviously, right. and I think that went okay. Like you'd like to see it probably a little stronger, but then you don't really know how to evaluate the UT Martin defense either. Like how much do they factor into that? Because we don't know anything about UT Martin. So what did Tim Fitzgerald take from the opener for the Cats?
Well, I think the coaches, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, held the reins pretty tight. They didn't let them get out and do their thing very much, which was, you know, intent not to show plays and to also not put Avery Johnson in the position where he might get hurt against UT Martin. So they were very careful. I would probably argue too careful. They didn't really let Avery get involved until the second half. And that's just not – you got to let him play. I mean, he can't just go out there and start being a pocket passer without getting the run element into his game. I think we saw he struggles with one, if not provided with the other. So, but yeah, you're right. It is what it is. You kind of move on to the next game. We'll learn some more Saturday in New Orleans about this team. And I probably should be wearing a festive shirt since I'll be in New Orleans tomorrow at this.
Save
around this time.
There yeah. you go. Why not? You know, the one thing, Tim, you know, I at first blush, you want to say Avery Johnson. You know, I don't know that he played up to where we thought he would be. You know, we didn't see him stretch the field a ton. A couple of times, yes. You know, it was certainly a pedestrian type performance, but I think he was held back obviously by play calling and stuff like that. Let me switch over to defense, if you don't mind. What do you take from the defense for Kansas State? This is UT Martin. I don't know how good they are really offensively, but you know you hold a team to 6 points and that's pretty darn good. But what was your takeaway once you up the game against Tulane and certainly the following week against the top 20 team in Arizona? Where is this defense at when you looked at it against UT Martin?
Well, they too were pretty basic, but defensively you can stay fairly basic if you're just more physically dominant. And they did that. They just dominated the line of scrimmage. UT Martin's a program that prides itself on its running game, and it virtually had none in this game. And they had like 135 yards of offense total with about 45 of it on one play. So I thought the defense was really good. I thought we saw signs of great promise. I mean, they're just scratching the surface of some of these guys. Toby Usunsami was just amazing. I mean, he was just amazing. And if he comes anywhere near that going forward, he's going to be an all Big 12 defensive end and may play about 25% of the snaps on defense. They're trying to get him up to speed to do everything. He played with his hand on the ground for the first time as a true defensive end and not just a rush end on a few snaps last week. But they've got more defensive ends. I mean, they've got Chidi Obazor and Ryan Davis, and they just got a bunch of guys that they can – put out there, and you know, Travis Bates was out there. Some it's just a really impressive what the job they've done recruiting young defensive edge guys, because boy, they got some explosive dudes.
Well, and Toby, by the way, Fitz, Paul Savage, helping coach out at Wichita East, yep. Pride of Wichita East. So we're excited about that. As we look at Tulane, they were in the same situation. They played Southeastern Louisiana. Name that mascot.
I can't.
The Lions.
Thank you.
Yeah. But they won 52-0. And so I'm trying to look at that and like, okay, what do we take away from this? They ran the ball a lot, like a whole lot. They only threw the ball. They threw the ball about, 16 times or something. And then they ran the ball a ton and they were productive on the ground. So then I look over at K-State and I'm like, well, UT Martin couldn't get anything going on the ground. But again, we're trying to compare UT Martin to Southeastern Louisiana. Like, good luck, everybody. Yeah. So when we come into these, like, it's hard for me to imagine how this plays out. And at that point, you just kind of go to what we expect out of K-State this year, and that's to be able to go to New Orleans and win a game, no problem, right? Because they can't, they're going to face much more difficult tasks in the Big 12. So yeah. I guess I sort of look at it that way. This is really the opener. This is really the game, I think, where we get a good look at some of this stuff, more so than last week.
Yeah, I would agree. They'll crack it open a little bit more. I mean, last week's main goals were win and get a bunch of guys on the field, and I think the count with 79 players played for K-State. And so they got some experience, and none of them apparently were true freshmen. So that's how deep this team is without that freshman class. And they've got plenty of guys that could play, but they just weren't presented with that opportunity. They have more guys to get out there, and they'll probably want to accomplish some of that in this game, although it'll be a travel squad. But this is a step-up in opponent, but let's be honest here. Tulane wouldn't be competitive in the upper half of this conference probably this season. Past teams have, but this is a different coach, a different quarterback. A lot of the talent does translate over from Willie Fritz, but, man, I think K-State should be able to go in there and do their thing. And if the coaches let the reins go enough, they'll win this game easily. I thought the reason K-State lost two seasons ago was the coaches gripped the reins too tightly and tried to be too basic on offense, and then K-State could never get out of the malaise, and Tulane got confidence. And I blame the coaches for that loss. I really do. I think they mismanaged that game and totally didn't think what Tulane was going to be that season. Nobody had an idea that they were going to be that good. But you got to be prepared for that. And I think this offense and defense are capable of making plays even in predicaments where maybe the play call, either way, offensive or defensively, wasn't right. I think this team is really talented, and I think they're going to get out of there with a pretty easy win.
Well, I kind of disagree with you. You know, who am I to disagree with the great one? But I'm going to disagree with the great one for just a moment, and that is I think Tulane's going to be a more difficult team. You know, a 52-0 win against one of those directional teams in Louisiana, you know, Louisiana Lafayette, McNeese, all those, you know, that's not bad football. It's not that bad a football, and 52 zip is still pretty good for a team of those qualities. It's not bad football down in the state of Louisiana. So with that being said, it makes me wonder, you got number 20 Arizona the following week, then BYU, number 16 Oklahoma State, then Colorado with Coach Prime and his group, Shakur Sanders, and one of the best receivers in the country, in my opinion, from what I have seen. Boy, I'll tell you what, talk a little about going into Big 12 play after Tulane, because let me tell you, Tim, that's no cakewalk. The next four games is no cakewalk.
Yeah, it gets interesting real quick for
K-State. It does.
It's kind of funny. Based on, you know, the preseason poll, their schedule gets much lighter towards the end of the year. But maybe that's not completely accurate because Arizona State might be a team this year. But, yeah, you really need this game to get yourself in the groove, because if you're not in the groove and ready to go for Arizona, yeah, it's a non-conference game, but it's a conference opponent because of scheduling. And man, you just got to get this ball rolling. And I don't know if in this modern era, if you're the Big 12 or ACC, you could hold back much, because getting into the playoff as a non-champion is going to be a challenge. You got to have a lot of mojo behind you. A lot of people think you're fun and exciting, and I think K-State could be that team, but not if they try to avoid fun and exciting to put anything on film. So they're going to have to open it up here a little bit against Tulane and save enough for Arizona and moving forward that there'll be, you know, a little bit of a mystery. But boy, you can't just hide everything.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, we watch Andy Reid with the Chiefs, who is the best at doing things to set up other things. I don't know if it gets high level to that degree in college, but I get both sides of it. Do you hold things back or do you just let it go? I would guess that we see a whole lot more than three rushing attempts for Avery Johnson, which is what we saw against UT Martin. You know, people coming into this season, I think people think of him as a running quarterback. I think we all understand that's not what he is. He's got a cannon and a great passer that can run. So I don't know that it's, you know, like 13 designed carries, but I think it'll be more than three. And that'll be good to see him at full strength and full go, because you got to know, right? You know, there's a part of it to hold him back against Arizona, but there's also a part of it where don't you need to find a couple of things out for a guy who's started now, what, two games in his college career?
Yep, you're exactly right. I think he'll have probably three runs by the end of the first quarter. I think they know they have to get him involved. I almost wonder if they didn't want to challenge him to see what he would do without his running game. And, you know, he's just not the same. He's a much more accurate passer than what he showed in that game, even though he completed 2/3 of his passes. He just really never had an opportunity to settle in at quarterback. And I think they'll let him do his thing. I mean, you got to let him be him, and you can't change him. If you want the full bounty of Avery Johnson's skills, you can't take away the main part of him. And I think they'll start giving that back to him and letting him do his thing. But they are very worried about protecting him and sheltering him from injury. But like a parent,
what did you think of the line on that, protecting him? What did you think? Because that may be the biggest question of this season. Did were you happy and satisfied with, you know, the sort of new look offensive line?
They're okay. That's best I can say. They were okay. Look, they're probably not going to be as good in certain things as last year's team, because if you needed a first down, you followed Cooper Beebe. That was a pretty easy formula. I mean, you got a guy, didn't matter who he's matched up with. It could be a future NFL guy across the line, and Cooper would take care of business and move him out of the way. So that's going to be a little bit different. I think they're going to be fine. I didn't think their pass protection was great. I thought it was okay. And the beauty of it is Avery can get out and move. You know, if you don't protect him, he can move around in that pocket and get things done. So they've got a ways to go, and they need to get that line up to speed. And that's why I think they might continue to try to run the ball in this game to try to get that line really settled in.
You know, I've got to ask you this question. It's kind of a different type of question, and that is, I'm going to give you Kansas State and the University of Kansas to win the Big 12.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Do you take Kansas or Kansas State to win the Big 12, or do you take the field to win the Big 12?
Well, considering I think K-State wins the Big 12, or Utah. I mean, Utah being in the field is a pretty good bet. I think K-State's caught a break, that they got out of Lawrence last year with a win. in a game KU probably should have won, but didn't get it done, which, you know, happens to teams that aren't used to winning. And now this game's in Manhattan this year, so I think that's a big advantage for the Wildcats.
That's a good way to think about it. I don't know what side of that I would take. I'm going to have to be satisfied, not ready to make those proclamations after a first throwaway week. And I don't know that we'll be ready after 2 or 3 weeks with the transfer portal. It's just going to take time to get good evaluations on these teams. So, Fitz, I get the impression then that you are laying the points with the Cats this week, which was the play we had a betting insider on right before you came on. He also agreed with that take. He liked laying the points against Tulane. I do, too. I do. Even though they didn't cover last week, those wacky, weird spreads, this one's a little more honed in. I think I agree. I think they'll cover it in a slugfest type of game, maybe. Maybe the under's a play there. I don't know. That's a tougher side probably to try to take the over-under.
Yeah, you know, if you're K-State, it's probably harder to judge Tulane from their game because, with all due respect to my colleague Paul, Southeast Louisiana is not a good football program. It's kind of the lowest rung on the ladder down there, and they're out there in Southeast Louisiana, and they got bad facilities, and that's just not a great FCS program. And I think Tulane's going to be good this year, but they do have a redshirt freshman quarterback who that was his first live action, and I think K-State's defense is going to come after him and make life a whole lot more difficult on him.
Should be fun. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have at GoPowerCat.com for us to get us ready for it?
The PowerCat pregame podcast is up for everyone to go watch or listen to. That's over at GoPowerCat. Lots of game coverage releasing. And, you know, we also have the PowerCat podcast up. And tonight at midnight, the Friday walkthrough, our last pregame video will drop. We're just bringing it. A lot of coverage. I couldn't believe how much we had post game from last Saturday, and we're going to look to do it again. And something real cool we're doing this weekend is we've decided the post game podcast on the road. Cole Carmody, one of my young guys, and Brian Hanley, the former player who's a football analyst for us, are going to host a live post game show on YouTube immediately following the Tulane game and all road games this year. So I hope people enjoy that. We can get over there and watch that. That'll allow Ryan Gilbert and I just kind of focus on our post-game coverage.
At Life of Fitz on social, you'll be in New Orleans. Behave, stay, sure. You know, stay well down there.
I don't mean to shock you. I changed my reservation from near Bourbon Street to the airport.
Just preventative measures.
Yes.
Fun. Hey, Fitz, it's always an honor and a privilege to do a show with you. It's always fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Brother Savage. Good to see you, boys.
Go to GoPowerCat.com. Check out Fitz's work. If you missed any of this interview, you can go back and listen to it or watch it. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. You can watch it on the 12 News Connected app. Fitz, be good. We'll talk again next week. Let's take a break, and we will get you ready. We will recap. We'll catch our breath a little bit, and Paul will dig in a little further to Chiefs-Ravens when we return. It is the start of football season in the NFL, and we are into the first very interesting week of the college football season as well. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. It's here. On the way out, let's set up our second giveaway. We'll give away a little HTO. The official launch, although you guys have been trying them already, of the new fall flavor offerings is out at HTO. A dirty chai apple crisp, a mocha butter pecan. Ooh. You can get one for free using this giveaway win. You can also get a free iced tea from HTO. Wow. You get one of each, coffee and a tea. All you got to do to win is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's tea to the short code 20357. These work at either Wichita location or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. One entry per day, message and data rates apply. We'll come back. Chiefs, Ravens. We dig in further next.
KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Ballbrock, Paul Savage alongside you. Our thanks to BJ Glasser, our betting insider, for joining us. followed by Tim Fitzgerald, or K-State Insider. If you missed either of those, you can go back and listen to them for free on the Odyssey app. Just download the app, check out odyssey.com. You can also go back and watch them. You can do that on 12 News Connected. We archive things on YouTube as well, X, Facebook. It's all there for you. Lots of ways to take in the show. And we appreciate you however it is you do. The IHOP hotline is back open for you now, brought to you by IHOP with its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. And we appreciate all of these things. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview's support. Great place to go watch the game tonight, by the way. Maybe play a little golf. Get off work, play a little golf, pop into the bar, watch the Chiefs and the Ravens. Should be a lot of fun. We appreciate Crestview Country Club's support. It is 36 holes of golf. It's so much more than that. Give them a call. Check out the facilities. See the membership details. You won't regret it. Great facility there. All right, Paul. Chiefs Ravens tonight. We got into a lot of the specifics there with PJ Glasser. I do like Worthy as a guy who could have an impact tonight, but I'm with PJ Glasser. I think this lends itself a little more low scoring. The only hesitation I have on that, but that is where I'm leaning as well. The only hesitation I have on that when I look at this game is I don't know yet what the Chiefs defense is going to look like without some of their key pieces from a year ago. Now, does that mean I think the Ravens are going to run away with this? It does not. It means it could dictate the pace of play in this, right? Let's say the Chiefs defense struggles out of the gates without some of those players, which would be understandable early in the year. Then I think they could pick up the pace offensively and you could get a little more pace to this game. I don't think either coaching staff would like to see that sort of pace to this game. But then, and here's where I get confused. The Chiefs offense, I'm sitting here telling everybody it's going to be high flying this year. Is it that way in week one against this top defense? This is a really hard game to predict, Paul, which is why we're so excited about it. You know, I don't mind telling people if I'm like all in on something. I'm not really all in on much here. My favorite bets are the Henry rushing prop and the Mahomes rushing prop. I think that lends itself a little bit to this under. I like the under, but I could also see this with these two kinds of offenses pushing the pace a little bit. You know, you get what would it be? 7 touchdowns in this game and you're over it. You mix in some field goals, 2 of the best kickers going at it in the league, Paul. So missed field goals, very unlikely in this game. I love it, man. I cannot wait for this particular contest.
Well, it's going to be fun, and I'm going to give you something to kind of look for, and this is it's kind of obvious, but sometimes it just needs to be said. You got to look at the line of scrimmage, and you know, I always look at the line of scrimmage. That tells me a lot about a football game, tells me a lot about a football team. And I look at – I'm going to be watching and see just how much success the Ravens have rushing the football, because if they can run the football – at a consistent clip, and I don't mean, and I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, breaking one for 60, breaking another one for 80. You know, I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
control the game. Control the clock.
Can you pick up 6-7 yards whenever you run the football? If you can do that, it's going to be a long game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that there's we're going to see a little more success running the football than we have in the past with this team. I think Derrick Henry brings a whole nother situation to the Baltimore Ravens. An already good football team got better with Derrick Henry and what they'll be able to do. But if Derrick Henry, what do you say? 100 yards, 110 yards, if he has 115 or 20 yards rushing, at what point do you know? Well, at that point, you got to say advantage goes to Baltimore. I think it's probably around 100. But, you know, if you control the football, if the Ravens control the football, then it's going to be a long game. It's going to be a tough game. And that's where I'm kind of at on this. And we just don't know yet. We just don't know. There's 3 offensive linemen that are new. We don't know how good, how well the Ravens will be able to control the line of scrimmage if they can.
I'm with you. And that's what makes it difficult, right? Because I do think when we look back at the offense Chiefs this year, they're going to want to be high flying. I just don't know if they're able to in this game. The other thing on the Chiefs offensive line, Paul, well, if they're going to, they've got to protect, and they're starting a rookie left tackle against one of the better defenses in football every single year.
Seems like
against
it.
Great secondary. Mm-hmm. So while normally speaking, I would say, yeah, the Chiefs are going to air it out and be awesome. I don't love that element this week because it makes sense for them also to want to run the ball, right? With Isaiah Pacheco and perhaps now even a little Carson Steele. Because they've got the, you know, the Ravens secondary is good. And you're going to trust a left tackle in his first NFL game against one of the top defenses in the league. I might be more inclined to run the ball a little bit too right here out of the gates to let everybody get warmed up. You're also down Hollywood Brown. So again, not to just keep saying the same thing, but this is a really unpredictable game because you can see sort of an easy path to all of these different things. So I don't think the Ravens are going to come out and air it out. I'll say that. I don't think that's going to happen because I think of last year's championship game. I think of, you know, just all the things considered. That doesn't make any sense to me, but I could understand the Chiefs pushing the pace to try and keep Derrick Henry off the field and irrelevant. I could see the Chiefs trying to protect left tackle and running the ball quite a bit offensively down Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, all of those things I could see. The only thing I can't see is the Ravens, you know, coming out and just chucking it around the field. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that's the sort of game I see play out. And I do think, Paul, it will be different than a lot of the Chiefs games we see this year. I think there are going to be a lot of Chiefs games where they come out and they jump out to massive leads early and you're getting huge scores and those kinds of things. I just don't think it's going to be this one because I don't think that that's the right way to play it if you're the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. If you're the Chiefs, right, you would like to protect Kingsley Suamataia and you'd like to protect that defense a little bit too. How do you do that? You run the ball, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
But if you go that path, Paul, you're keeping Henry relevant longer because if you can get them down a couple of scores, then Henry becomes less relevant. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit tricky, but I would say if I'm the Chiefs, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm a little more inclined to run it and protect my defense and protect Kingsley Suamataia at least early in the game to see how they do.
I think that's well said, and I'm glad you brought the Chiefs into the whole situation because I was making the point with Derrick Henry that this is – you know, this is what I think the Ravens got to do. And, I mean, they didn't bring him in just, you know, because he's another pretty face. They brought him in because he's going to make a difference in the run game. That's what it
is. Even at his advanced age, I think we all think it's a good fit and he'll be a factor.
I think it's a wonderful fit if you're the Ravens. But with that being – and by the way, because he's a fairly fresh football player. He's a fairly fresh football player. So, but I'm glad you brought up the Chiefs. I should have probably done it myself, and I appreciate it when you always fill in for me where I leave out what I leave out. You always seem to take care of it, and I do appreciate that. But you brought up the Chiefs, and how important it is for the Chiefs to be able to run football, to run the football, for the Chiefs to be able to get first downs, move the chains. Well, it's just as important and maybe even a little more important because right now I'm looking at these two teams and not having seen either one of them play in a regular season game yet, the first game of the season, obviously, I kind of give the advantage maybe a little bit to the Ravens. I don't know why I do that, but I think I do. It may not be a huge advantage, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, incumbent upon the Chiefs to slow down the run game and make Lamar Jackson do the things that Lamar Jackson does. Because when he does, you put him out in there, things can happen. They can happen good for the Ravens, but there's also the possibility of things happening bad for the Ravens as well. So you put him into space, you make him work, you get him out of the pocket, you do the things that you got to do. So it's going to be a fascinating game. I don't think either team blows out the other team.
That's why I'm taking the points.
Yeah.
That's why when we made our picks, what side of that did you take?
I took the Chiefs last week. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, I was kind of chuckling at you guys for a few of you guys, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember who all took
it. It was Brandon and I. And we both have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl in our preseason predictions.
Yeah.
Brandon and I do, but I just don't want to lay the points. That's it for me this week. Like, if I was going to take the Chiefs just because, and I think that I like the Chiefs to win the game, but not cover the number. I think that's probably where I land.
Well, you said that. You said that when you made the pick. I remember you.
I'm going to leave that out of any bets I make. Like, I'm not touching it on either side. If I go to the lines, I'm going to take the under, but I'm probably going with the player props in this one.
Right, right.
Because Mahomes, his running total is always criminally low, and especially early in a season. And then Henry, like 70 yards, Derrick Henry tonight, today, it seems like for him, I think that total is going to start ballooning up at some point, but I think he's going to carry the ball at least 20 times in this game.
Yeah.
Don't you? Like 20 carries seems like
I think
like
it's possible. In fact, I think it's probable. Well, let me rephrase that. He'll carry it 20, maybe even more if they're having success. I don't know if
they're not, he's going to get the carries to get him to 70.
Well, he's going
to those are the things that I like. Pacheco, I just don't know.
I don't know about Pacheco.
I would like to see the Chiefs do that and look at his, and I don't have his prop now pulled up in front of me, but I'm not. There's very easily a scenario where the Chiefs come out and sling it because I think that's what they want to do this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm staying away from that. So my favorite two are Mahomes' rushing prop, Henry's rushing prop. And then if I'm throwing a dart at something else to hit the jackpot, it'll be a worthy touchdown. Because I do think they'll take, I don't remember who I was talking to yesterday. I asked, how many shots do you think they'll take to Worthy in this game? They've got this shiny new toy, fastest player ever at the combine. How many shots do you think they'll take to him? I would say at least two. They'll try him down the field. Mm-hmm. Is that, you think that's about right? Or you think it could be more or less?
I think it could be more if you want to know the real truth. I mean, but it depends upon how the game ebbs and flows, what the needs are, what the score will be. You know, there's all, I mean, it's kind of crazy. There's no definitive way to say it's going to be this way or that way, because so much depends on what's the score, how's the mood of the game going. It's really tough to say, but it's possible. That's what I think you're wanting to hear. Yes, Jacob, you're right. It's possible. That is a real possibility. So with that being said, Friday when we made the picks, I made that pick with my heart. I made that pick with my heart, and I didn't even think about it. When I left the studio that day, I thought to myself, driving home, dang, I'm not sure that – I made that pick too quick, too flippantly, the Chiefs. Come on.
Right, because we all think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, right?
I know,
like everybody thinks.
But,
you know, and they will have a few of these on the schedule. I'm not sure that there will be, this will be probably the hardest. You know, if everything stays relatively steady and there aren't key injuries or anything else, this is going to be as tough a test as the Chiefs face this year. I think the Ravens are really, really good. And I think they got better from a year ago. I think the Chiefs got better as well. But I think the Ravens got better. I mean, how could you not be better with Derrick Henry?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I mean, you just, like, if you could have, if you could have had an opportunity for that guy, even at this stage of his career, where would be the perfect fit for Derrick Henry? I'd have told you Baltimore, right? And that's a team that wants to run the ball, will feature him, and can throw it around enough that a defense has to stay on its heels a little bit. They're going to feast. Derrick Henry's going to feast late in games this year, So I cannot wait. It's going to be so good. You'll hear it over on KNSS. It's going to be incredible.
Right.
There's
a little bit of irony as well in this particular game. This may be the toughest game to play the Ravens, even if they're in a Super Bowl, because you know by the time you get through the season, get into the playoffs, play into the playoffs, and you get to wherever you are and you play the Chiefs again. I'm telling you right now. This team, you know, Derrick Henry's going to be beat up. This may be the toughest time that you play the Ravens in the year is right now, while they're halfway fresh, while they're not beat up, while they're not nicked up, while they're not going through the grind of a regular NFL season, which is for guys like you and me, it's unthinkable of what these guys go through. The toughness that it takes to be an NFL player. So this might be the toughest time. This game could be tougher for the Chiefs than in the Super Bowl if they face the Ravens again.
Could be. Yeah, because it's tougher for us because we don't. It's you know, it's a little more unpredictable until we get some games under our belt.
Right.
All right. We're looking forward to it. You'll have it here tonight. Well, not here. You'll have it over on KNSS. The Westwood One broadcast will be here. It's a Royals day off, so that's how it'll play out. You'll get pregame coverage beginning on KNSS for the Chiefs Radio Network. That's at 6. And then if you want the national broadcast, you'll have Westwood One coverage right here at 7. It is a 7:20 kick. Before that, by the way, you got the Chris Kleiman show, as we were just talking K-State. So a lot of good stuff on the networks today. And we will we'll be back here tomorrow, of course, to talk about all of it. Let's come back, Paul, and we'll look elsewhere around the sports world just briefly. You sent me before our take on Colorado. They have been as interesting as any for a lot of different reasons, but we'll look at that. What did we think of their week one? You know, their star players are star players. That didn't change, did it? Is that going to be enough to let them contend in the Big 12? We'll hit on that when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage. Don't go away. We're coming right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock alongside Paul Savage. We are getting ready for the start of the NFL season tonight. Brief pause here. We've hit you with some Royals talk today, a little K-State talk today, a little KU betting talk, lots of betting talk overall, and you can find it and go back and listen to any of it on the Odyssey app. Let's take a brief turn away from all the directly local stuff and talk about one of the big national stories to watch this year, and that's Colorado football, of course, in the Big 12 now. They survive their opener against North Dakota State. Paul, I again, it's sort of the same thing we were talking to Fitz about with K-State, to PJ Glasser about with college football early on in general. We know that's a really good FCS team. So do we hold it against Colorado that was a tight game? Or do we just say that's a good team in general? I don't know if it impacts, because I have already soured a bit on Colorado anyway. I think nothing changed for me after the first game. I know their star players are incredible, but there's too many distractions there. I don't see them as a team that's going to win the Big 12.
Well, I watched enough of that game to know that North Dakota State's a good football team. I mean, they're a legit football team. I've got a feeling they'll be a contender for a national championship at their level. I don't think there's any question about that. They're a good football team. But I'll tell you what, here's the one thing that I'm higher possibly on Colorado than you. But I watched enough of that game. That is a football team that has a lot of speed, and I mean a lot of speed at a lot of different positions. You're not on the University of Colorado football team unless you can run. I can tell you that right now. And I was so impressed with the overall team speed. I didn't see another team on all the games that I checked in on over the course of this weekend at the college level, and I don't care what team it was, I don't care what league it was, I don't recall seeing a team with overall speed like Colorado, and we both know that speed is amazing. I think part of the thing that you're having a problem with, Jacob, is that Colorado is now one of those teams that it seems like it's going to turn over every year. You're basically going to start over every year because you have so many guys go into the portal, so many guys come out of the portal. That's what you're seeing, that basically this is a brand new football team. I think I read a stat, Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, and you may not know, but I think I read 61. Does that number sound right? 61 guys that on this team right now that were not
transferred.
Were not on this
team. And they had a bunch come in and then they lost a bunch. So again, it's just too, there's too many, in a league that's going to be so difficult anyway. Do you see Colorado winning 9 games, 10 games? I just don't. Now, are they, but I would also say that I could easily see them winning a lot of games that they're not the favorite, right? Winning a lot of games where they execute a game plan flawlessly and their talent rises to the top. They've got two very likely first round picks there, and maybe the number one overall pick in Shedeur Sanders. So, like, they're talented. I just don't know that they're going to have what it takes to pile up enough wins to be in that sort of race. And I would say this, you know, and this is, a lot of this is self-inflicted from Prime. if under any other circumstance, if Colorado bounced back the way they did last year and then came back this year and won six or seven games, almost everybody would be happy about that. Mm-hmm. But Prime has brought this different sort of expectation. Again, self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. He's brought it on himself.
That's
so
right.
Competing for a Big 12 championship just does not seem like it's in the cards mm-hmm. for this team now. As maybe if, you know, we'd asked that question in June, and I probably would have had a different answer. I can't see it right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I want to ask you a question. No right or wrong answer to this question. Is Shedeur Sanders the best quarterback in the Big 12?
Oh, gosh.
Well, there's no right or wrong, because I'm going to say yes. Now, what are you going to say? I
would say probably at this point. But you've got three Heisman candidates just off the top of our heads in Jalen Daniels, Avery Johnson, and Shedeur Sanders. All three of those guys are Heisman candidates. So I would say, based on an entire body of work and the kind of year we saw last year, the fact that he's very likely number one overall pick, I would say yes, right now he is. But I would also say that either of the two Kansas and Kansas State quarterbacks could surpass him. And there's probably others. I know Utah's got a quarterback with a ton of experience. I know a lot of people are high on Arizona's quarterback. Like, there's a lot out there, Paul. Probably. I mean, the NFL certainly seems to think so.
Well, that goes a long way in trying to figure out where is Colorado in terms of the rest of the Big 12. Listen, the Big 12 is going to be a gauntlet. It's going to be so difficult. And you look at K-State, for instance. Boy, their first five or six games in the conference are just killers. I mean, it is as tough as it gets. And every game in the Big 12 seems like it's going to be a tough. Now, there's going to be some teams that aren't going to be in that category. Houston's going to probably be one of those. At least for now, they got a new head coach. I still am bullish on Houston as an overall in the future. They're going to be extremely difficult to beat. They're going to be very, very good. But Baylor's not going to be as good as I want them to be. Then TCU, I don't think, is going to be good as we think they may be. There's going to be some things like that going on. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be so much fun in the Big 12. And I'll tell you what, a team like Colorado brings so much to the Big 12. You have prime time and his show, what he does, it brings interest. And I'll tell you what, it's just fun to watch. And by the way, I think we also need to make sure that we mention, when it comes to great players, Travis Hunter. That guy, have you seen a receiver that runs better than Travis Hunter so far in this season?
A two-way player? Are you kidding? After our obsession with Shohei?
Yeah.
Just the fact that we've got a two-way player.
But he is so fast. He is so good. I'm telling you right now, I could see where he's the first receiver taken in the draft. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that will go. And is he high? I think he's high enough level to potentially play both ways in the NFL too, which we've seen. Obviously, his coach Deion Sanders knows something about that.
Right.
And that used to be a little trendier in the NFL. I don't recall now when it happened, but it used to happen all the time.
You remember the term for that? This is a test to see if you know your old-time football. You know the term for the guy that's guys in the NFL that went two ways? Do you remember the term?
No.
Iron Man. Iron Man,
yeah,
football.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
gosh,
I don't think
that,
we, yeah,
that must
okay.
be way. You know, I must be showing my age right now with the youth of America like you. I mean, I'm.
Typically.
Yeah.
Typically.
There you go.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get you wrapped up here and tell you what's on tap for the rest of the day. Don't go away, Sports Daily. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.